99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
How's it going, friends? Hello. John Potter here, live and local each and every Saturday morning from 9 to noon. You ain't nothing but a groundhog. Lying all the time. Well, it has something to do with that groundhog. I tell you, we got a big storm moving in. They said, today, it looks like it's going to be tomorrow. Craig Moss is pushing the buttons in Carson City. Hey, Craig.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I am happy post-Groundhog Day.
You know, Groundhog Day, I have to say, it was so nice to see something emerge from a tunnel that wasn't Hamas. So, there. But yes, the weather has turned cold and stormy again. Not yet today. We got beautiful sunny skies in Aredo, chilly, 34 degrees. Thank you for joining our Saturday morning Nevada radio family. The storm, yeah, is coming in tomorrow morning. It's a large storm. It really all depends on what the snow level is going to be. You know, snow tomorrow and rain on Monday. Oh, my gosh. Lots of flooding for California. Up to 7 inches of rain predicted for L.A. Up to 94% of California's population at risk for flooding. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That's 94% California population. That's 37 million people at risk for flooding. Go west on 80 past Auburn, and you'll run into it if you're heading out to the bay or something. Heavy snowfall coming to the mountains tomorrow morning. A foot and a half for Tahoe. We need it. Our Sierra snowpack. A lot of people think we're doing fine this winter. We're not. Sierra snowpack below average at the moment. If you need to get over, speaking of which, Donner Pass, do it tonight. 3 to 5 inches of snow on the Reno Carson City Valley floor. Reno and Carson City expected for tomorrow. Snowplows! Did you hear that? Snowplow, what's that?
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh, can't please somebody plant some tomatoes, please. 3 to 5 inches of snow on the valley floor. But as always, that does not satisfy me. I predict I'll be dissatisfied. And I wonder if the governor is going to cancel work for state employees again. And what about schools on Monday morning? Be sure to catch KKFT's Craig Swope for the news on Monday morning.
Okay, Jeopardy!
These 40 multimillionaires will be watching the Super Bowl on television.
Who are the Dallas Cowboys?
Correct. Somebody sent me this, that 2020 was a leap year with a Chiefs versus Niners Super Bowl and a Trump versus Biden election in 2020. 2024. here we are again. But today it is the weekend with no football. Just when I got hooked. How are we going to survive? We are 8 days away from mayhem in Vegas. I checked the rooms. The average $11,000 now for a room in Vegas. And folks, those are not the penthouse suites. Wagering opened up with the Niners being 2-point favorites, but people were betting on KC, so it went down to a point. Then more money for the Niners, and I guess I haven't checked it today, but the spread went to a point and a half favoring the Niners. Hey, KC, you know, they won two away games to get to the Super Bowl, and, you know, Detroit almost beat the Niners, and, the Packers had them on the ropes. But then again, I want to cheer for Mr. Irrelevant. You know, that's an amazing story. Look at me talking sports which I didn't know anything about.
I blame Taylor Swift.
I was talking to a woman the other day during my breakfast downtown.
Oh, John Potter, did you bet on a Super Bowl?
And I said, I can't predict anything. I can't even predict if Taylor Swift is going to be there. And she goes,
I hate her.
Just like that. What is this hate for a successful young woman who works so hard? And she was booed at a Chiefs game. Sad, you know, if you know a rich blonde bombshell, give her a hug, really. And there was that video of Taylor leaving the KC Ravens game with the lady screaming, you're ruining football. And Taylor later said, how is that possible? You know, I love the game. How miserable of a human being do you have to be to hate this woman that does so much good in the world there to watch her boyfriend playing football? I kind of like this because it's kind of a throwback to being in high school. You know, the most popular girl in school is dating a football player. How do you hate that person? Well, it's because they're rich, right? It's like when people of a certain political bent make fun of and otherwise criticize rich people to fight for poor people, right? Like you have to be poor now to help poor people. Anyway, I've honestly never been into sports besides being on running teams in high school and college. But today I'm really into sports. And I think, you know, a reason why is because today sports, from my perspective, is the only thing, the last national institution that I trust. I don't trust anything. I don't trust the media. I trust just a handful of journalists, not a lot. Everything I read or see on TV, it's usually half the truth. They write their narrative. They don't write the truth. Yes, that's a generalization, but it's generally true. They write the half that their partisan viewers and the readers will agree with and want to see. The media is in the audience stroking business now. And another reason I don't trust the media, latest example here, reporting all week about what the U.S. is going to do in retaliation for the three servicemen who were killed by Iranian drones. Why is it that the White House and the media, same thing, always telegraph our military plans? What? Why? Oh, because we don't want the enemy to get hurt or something. You know, get out of the area. And by the way, the day that tragic attack happened, the TV network news did not even make it their top story that three servicemen were killed in that attack. It did not make the top story. The lady who won $83 million suing Trump, that was the top story that day. I really have to question putting that story about three of our servicemen killed overseas. Maybe that's just me. And I don't trust corporations. I've been ripped off too many times. And I'm sorry, but you can't always be experiencing a higher volume of calls than average. That's not how averages work. You know, I don't trust our government. Duff said it works against us. Our agencies we pay taxes for don't help us like before. Politicians screw over the middle class to pander to criminals and migrants. You saw that video where the migrants are beating up on the two police officers in New York City. By the way, it wasn't just five. It was like 15 or 20 if you see the whole video. But they weren't even put in jail for that. I mean, some of those hits were could be the kid kicking at the policeman's head can be a deadly injury. And just like Coward biatch, you know, after he kicked the officer's head, he just runs away. But anyway, they never served a day in jail. They were just given the appearance ticket and let go. And the governor of New York goes, well, how come these people can't be apprehended? Well, ma'am, you signed the bail reform. It's And you know, recent example, retail theft has skyrocketed because our government leaders in Nevada, they raised the petty theft threshold, the amount you have to steal to make it a felony. It went from $650 to $1,200 in July of 2020. So sports, yes, I trust sports. You have to absolutely earn your place in sports. I absolutely trust that the athletes who make the teams in professional sports are the best in the world. You can't say that about any other field. There's no nepotism in sports. Can't happen. You're performing in a public platform. You don't get to suck in front of an audience. Your only goal is to win, not kiss up to your boss. The rules are public. You can't politic your way to success in sports. There's a much less racism in professional sports. You wear the same uniform. There's no winning a position because you're white or Hispanic or black. If you can play, you play. If you can't, you can't. I wish we could make that work in society. By the way, congrats to our Wolfpack. They really beat San Jose State big time last night, 90 to 60. Oh, Craig, don't let me go off on this angry tangent first thing in the morning. I thought you'd interrupt me. Save me.
Oh, no, you were on a roll.
Well, yeah, but that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. I don't need to be in a roll. It's a beautiful day for now on this Saturday morning. Our phone lines are open. Then we have our first guest coming at 9:30. Do you have a dog? Do you own a dog? You'll want to hear about how to have your dog be a little angel at home. That's right. That's right. We have a local dog trainer. It's really... We're going to get into dog psychology, maybe. I don't know. And me. But until that happens, we're opening up the phone lines, 884-9910. I want to bring up the president going to Nevada tomorrow. Now, when the TV news says, oh, President Biden's coming to Nevada, it's always Las Vegas, okay? It's Las Vegas. I like how our local TV news really plays it up. He's coming to Nevada, the big headline. Yeah, it's Vegas. It's not our Nevada. Okay.
Well, he did, in all honesty, he did come to Nevada, northern Nevada, but it's he probably lost a lot of votes from anybody out there because he blocked traffic while he was going up to Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, I can't catch a break. But, yeah, okay, so early voting for the Nevada primary ended yesterday. Primary election day here is on Tuesday. Primary results are expected by Thursday. Thursday also happens to be the day of the Nevada GOP caucus, 5 p.m., rather late. The primary is moot, as the caucus is what will assign the delegates. Trump is the only serious candidate as the alternative in this caucus is Binkley. So unless Trump gets the Nevada, you know, he'll get the Nevada delegates. If you have a problem with that, take it up with Michael McDonald and the Nevada GOP, okay? The Democrat primary, it's not much better. There's no Robert Kennedy Jr., just Biden and a bunch of no-names. And we know the DNC admitted to interfering with the primary when Bernie was going up against Hillary. So the RNC, they can do whatever they want, and the election will be another, this election is going to be another Sophie's choice for American politics. You have a right to feel ripped off. Today, the South Carolina Democrat primary, what a non-event that is, but the South Carolina Republican primary is a big one. That is now 3 weeks away. Latest polls, Donald Trump is losing his lead, and I the Winnipeg poll, if you look it up, he's dropped quite a bit. I think that thing about him scuttling the border deal has something to do with that. But he's still double digits ahead of Nikki Haley in South Carolina, so he's going to win that one, and he will be very gracious to his opponent, as always. But it's just sad to me that this whole race is over now. At my age, I've been through a lot of presidential primaries, and I feel gypped this time. We don't get our audition phase of this reality show this time. Election campaigns were exciting. This one, I feel snubbed as a citizen. Trump is leading in the national polls over Biden. My Democrat friends say they're not worried. Oh, relax. It's a long time before the election. Yes, that's Biden's whole card. Time. But Bill Clinton has been out of office for 25 years, and he's still younger than both of them. The only people excited about this matchup are companies, I think, that build ramps for debate stages. Just my opinion. And by the way, the first debate between Biden and Trump, did you hear, Craig? It's going to be at the Museum of Natural History. Okay, that's enough. I got it out of my system. It's 921. Phone number is 884-9910. I'm John Potter. We're going to have fun this morning. We're going to hit some local stuff here today. The place where you live is front and center on this radio show each and every Saturday between 9 and noon. I think I had too much coffee. I'll take a Sominex. That may be helping. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Once again, 884-9910 on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time 922.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
925, John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 until noon. Welcome, folks. Welcome back. It's another chilly morning. I came into work today. It was right around 8. You would have been so proud of me, Craig, maybe a couple of minutes before. I drove right through the city. Typically starting where I live near Mount Rose Street, and I go a ways through Midtown on Virginia Street on my way to where our five-star Reno studio is here on Terminal Way. At any rate, I was on Center Street approaching Vassar on this cold morning, and on the left, on the curb, I saw a bicycle leaned up against a pole. Had some Save Mart bags hanging from it front and back. And beyond that, on the ground, a pile of, well, I got closer, and the pile turned out to be under a tarp, a person sleeping. And it was like 32 degrees freezing mark at that time this morning. The person was on the sidewalk, sleeping bag or blankets, whatever, under the tarp. And it was, to be honest with you, a very sad picture to see. You know, I had the heater going on in the truck, and I was warm and I was toasty, and I had a comfortable drive from home. And plenty of times I have camped out on hiking trips in weather like this, weather that was colder, but I've done so in a sleeping bag designed especially for cold weather. And I've done so in great comfort. And I don't know if that guy or gal on the corner sleeping as I came to work, I was blessed with gear of similar quality, and it struck me as I was there at the red light waiting for it to change, which, by the way, is always too long. That person sleeping at the intersection some years ago, not too far away, there used to be a bus station right there off Riverside Drive on Stevenson Street off West 2nd. Right now, Greyhound picks up and drops off alongside Silver Legacy and the Amtrak station. And I think they go to Victorian Square, too. But our bus station was a pretty big building. It was heated, and there were benches and other seats and vending machines. It was a good shelter. It wasn't so bad. This is before we, you know, spent multi-millions on the care center for the homeless. This, back then, when there are much fewer numbers of homeless, that was our homeless shelter. Always saw that. There was a bench outside, and a homeless person would often spend the night sleeping on that bench outside the bus station when it was a bit warmer. And that's just how it was until they tore down that bus station and got rid of that bench. And I guess they figured, well, if there's no bench, people aren't going to lay down on it, and we're going to have fewer people sleeping around downtown. That's why another reason why you don't see benches and seats downtown along Virginia Street. It's to discourage the people from sleeping there. And that, I think, is behind the lack of the outdoor seating we have, and maybe why places like the big Starbucks at Virginia and Liberty Street took out all of their indoor and outdoor seating so that the homeless don't congregate there. Most of us, we live in a different world. I know I do. I live sort of a middle-class life, and I have a place to stay at night, a bed and a furnace, a door that closes. I have a roof that works, and I sleep dry and warm every night. And that's how it is for the overwhelming majority of us, far north of 99%, but not everybody. And I recognize that some folks have characteristics and attitudes or afflictions in their lives that make the homeless lifestyle almost the only one they can tolerate. But it still troubles me. It's not some failing of society. I know that there are homeless shelters. I know that the county works hard to help these people. I know that the police departments keep their eyes open. I know the Sparks Police Department especially, they go out to find these folks and get them in to where it's warm on the coldest nights. But I know also that people make choices, and sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. And sometimes, while everybody is talking about frigid cold temperatures like now, and at times we're getting close to single digits, there are still people who sleep on the sidewalk across from the building that I drive by sometimes on my way to work. Last Saturday, as I walked to work, there was a homeless person sleeping in front of the restaurant supply store on Plum, East Plum there. We saw the numbers of homeless really increase in Reno, 15 years ago, I think. So I have no solutions, just observations, sad to say. It had an effect on me, and it does, I think, for anybody who sees this in our town. Our first guest is coming up next after Fox News. I'm John Potter, 884-9910, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 931.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
Hey, does anybody know when the W-2s for Walmart's self-checkout are going to be sent out? Maybe we have to do them ourselves. I'll bet you. Anyway, I'm John Potter, live and local, and I'd like to introduce you to Samaria Brueger. Samaria, that is one unique first name.
Thank you, John.
You're the only Samaria I've met. Hello.
I haven't met very many either.
Really?
So, no.
That's cool.
No,
I like it.
Thank you.
You run the Dog Coach Academy in Carson City. We were just talking during the Fox News about how there are different types of dog training. You are so skilled in this. You know the kind of training that works. But my first question is, and I ask this of every dog trainer I meet, how did this all start for you? Of all possible careers, what made you choose becoming a dog trainer?
I'll give you a little history. For a while there, for quite a few years, I was really sick. You know, I was really sick and low functioning. I was able to work, but I was very low functioning. And my true friends that were always there for me were my dogs. You know, I had a couple dogs. And while I was sick, I'd watch all these dog training shows, and it really inspired me to see those relationships between dogs and people. And it really inspired me. And luckily, I was able to reverse my health and get my energy back. And
the
dog
had something to do with that.
Yes, the dogs. And
the mind is everything. And listen, I get the same from my cats.
Yes.
That I need them.
Yes.
to help me fall asleep, even.
Yes.
You know? And they can read you. They can read humans so well.
Those companions of mine were truly best friends. You know, they loved me more than most. And when no one else could be there, they were there.
God bless you. I'm with you there. So, easy way to get people in arguments is what's the approach to train a dog that works? Which dog training techniques, Samaria, do you consider the most effective, and why?
Well, I'm just going to talk about my experience. I don't want to have an argument or offend.
Well, your experience shows what works, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I went to school to Animal Behavior College, and fortunately, I learned about positive reinforcement training. And that's more of a cooperation and a communication with your dog, you know. And it's kind and humane, and it's what veterinarian behaviorists use. That's what they approve of and stuff. And I went along that path. I went to school. I did externships.
They have dog training school?
Yes, there's dog training schools. I went to Animal Behavior College. There's Karen Pryor and quite a few others out there. And usually they follow, usually those schools follow along those lines.
So you're mainly about positive reinforcement. How come that doesn't work on bad humans?
I actually think it would. It seems like there's a movement, not after I went to school for dog training, that there's a lot of young people coming into management now. And I learned this when I was working in the schools. These young people are a lot more positive. They're not as cranky when they're straightening out their employees. And they make it a lot easier for people to communicate with them. And I think it's starting to come over. But it's a tough thing to learn after the way I grew up, and probably you, where schools were a little bit more strict, a lot less tolerant of behaviors and stuff like that. And that's not to mean that we're permissive, but it means we're very constructive and we try to work with the dog that's in front of us and also the people to teach them how to communicate with their dogs.
So you got to train people too.
Oh, absolutely. My number one job is to train the person.
You just don't tell them you're training them, but you train them.
Now I tell them. I do tell them. I tell them I'm going to teach you how to communicate with your dog. I'm going to teach you how to advocate for your dog so we don't get some of those behaviors we don't like from our dogs.
So what are the most common mistakes that you notice that pet owners are making with respect to disciplining their dogs?
The word you said was discipline. I don't like that.
Oh,
you know?
Sorry.
So dogs operate, I think, by opportunity and teaching them what you want them to do. It's like there's an opportunity, but I also need, they operate that way. What do you want me to do and what's the opportunity? It isn't right or wrong for them or black or white. We have to learn how they operate. Even breeds and things like that. Breeds and.
Did you read books about this?
I've read quite a bit. Yeah.
There are a lot of books about that.
Yes.
Cats too.
Yes.
So okay, so you're positive with the dogs. I mean, you're not into physical punishment at all, then, right?
I don't like to. I've heard. I haven't found a need for it. There's a time and a place for that. Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place when you've exhausted every avenue. I don't do that. And even more education that I'm seeking out, even then they're saying you don't need to. When you go into those specialties like aggression, separation anxiety, reactivity, those mm-hmm. complex behaviors, the trainers that I follow or the experts or veterinary behaviors still don't like to use those methods.
Tell us a story about one of your problem childs. The problem dogs and how you turn them around.
I can talk about my own problem dogs.
Good.
I adopted my two dogs from a shelter, and they have problems. You know, they have problems. One of them has reactivity. The other one is deaf. And my reactive dog is his best friend, so he follows her lead. I'm working with trainers that are teaching me how to recognize their body language and that they just have big feelings, you know, and how to use distance, distraction, duration combined with pattern mm-hmm. games to help them feel better about situations and not react.
Now, you do this mobile. You go to people's houses.
For now, yes. But we are going to be offering group classes.
Group classes?
Yes.
At your facility in Carson City?
I am renting space from Shauna Peterson at Crazy Cat Dog Grooming. Mm-hmm. She is also a trainer. But she is renting space to me. I'm going to be offering group classes on Sundays and Mondays, and we're starting February 11th.
Just bring your dog and what, a one-hour class?
Well, first, for puppies, most puppies can sign up and come. But for adult dogs, I want to make sure that we set them up for success. So we do a half-hour phone evaluation to see if maybe I need to do a half-hour consultation to see if the dog can handle being in a group class.
All right, the dogs aren't listening. What's your favorite breed?
All of them. I'm not sure. I'm more a person that's into the temperament of the dog, and that can be any breed. You know, breeds have tendencies, but I just like a dog.
Tendencies, okay.
Yeah, they can.
Because, you know, a lot of people think pit bulls are a totally different animal and on the vicious side.
Those are actually some of my favorite. Those are actually some of my favorite. My first year of training, out of all the pit bulls I met, there was only one I wouldn't work with. And there's some other breeds where about half of them could not work in a group class. But I don't.
Okay.
Pit bulls can have tendencies. You know, there are those outliers that can, you know, they can be vicious at times. But they train really well. They're not for everybody. You know, they're not for everybody. They can be intense and stuff, but they're really wonderful dogs, I think.
You know, I believe that most all people are bad from conditioning, from their upbringing, from their peers. But I also believe that a certain percentage who have had great parents and such are just born bad. Is the same true of dogs? When we say bad dog, are some born that way?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. But it's going to be hard for me or even some other trainers to find those outliers. Some dogs just, you know, they can come with mental health issues because of genetics. They can come with behaviors because of a medical condition.
And this is why our Humane Society classifies certain dogs as unadoptable.
Yes. Yeah. But that's going to, again, those are going to be very far and few.
Okay.
Those are going to be very far and few.
I used to have a dog, but I'm a cat person now. Us cat people say dogs give free tooth hugs.
Dogs?
Do you like dog humor? Did you know I once bought a dog from a blacksmith, and as soon as I got him home, he made a bolt for the door? You haven't heard that one?
I hadn't heard that one, but I have a solution for that bolt dog, too. We can train dogs to not bolt.
All right, so when do the classes begin in Carson City?
They begin February 11th. I'm going to have a puppy class, two puppy classes starting on the 11th, and two adult classes.
At night or during the day?
One will be at, the first puppy class will be at 10. The second puppy class will be at 11:30.
How many classes do the dogs have to go through?
My course is a little bit different. They're shorter.
Good. Because of their attention spans, you know.
I don't mean the length of time. They're about an hour long.
I'm talking about the people.
Yeah. It's really hard. I've noticed. It can be really hard for the adults to focus. But there's a four-week group class for the basic and essentials to learn cues. And then after that, we'll do a loose leash walking and recall class, which is also 4 weeks long. And then we get into the fun stuff like field trips and hiking and things.
This thing where you go to people's houses to do one-on-one training with dogs is kind of unique.
Yeah. That can work out for people that are maybe working on behavior problems or it's just really specific. Right now, it's great because there is a canine influenza thing going around.
Yeah.
My group classes are going to be safer. I'm going to start with two at a time, so there's not going to be any nose-on-nose. I follow industry standards where I clean and sanitize the area. But let's say there's a dog where that private training could go well. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a dog that has special health concerns. That would be perfect for them.
Okay.
Because I can go to their home and train them there.
You have a Facebook page?
Yes.
The Dog Coach Academy, right?
No, it's Dog Coach Academy.
Oh, no, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Just Dog Coach Academy.
Dog Coach Academy, and you have a website. What's the address of that one?
Dogcoach.academy.
Dogcoach.academy, because somebody else has Dog Coach Academy, right? Got to differentiate.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
Well, check, folks, check it out. Samaria Brueger is a dog training expert. Is there a certain license, or I know you're insured and bonded.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
I have a business license with the state of Nevada. I have my certification through Animal Behavior College.
Wow. Okay.
I also have a certification for fear-free shelters, which means I don't make dogs scared of me to learn. I try to eliminate anything that could cause them fear for training and help them learn from there.
All right. Samaria Brueger, thank you for so much for coming out here. And you have a phone number that people can call?
Yes.
If they have an unruly dog and would like a little bit of behavior help.
Yes. 775-830-7613.
830-7613.
Yes.
Awesome. So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. It's a fascinating topic, and especially when if you have a dog, it's your life. You know?
Yes.
Can you train John?
Part of your family.
Stop that. She's not wearing headphones. I'm not going to tell her what you said. He's a very, very unruly man in Carson City. Thank you, Samaria.
Thank you.
I'm John Potter. Going to talk with you a little bit one-on-one coming up next. And next guest, 10 o'clock. It's about brain health.
Get a dog for that.
You need a dog for that, really. Dog can do anything. 884-9910, our number. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 9:51.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hello. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, Saturday mornings, 9 to noon. Local news. This is such a bonkers story. And yesterday, the update was, let's see if Craig has something to say about this. Woman recounts harrowing night left forgotten in Tahoe ski gondola. Heavenly. Stranded overnight in the gondola high above ground for 15 hours, freezing in the cold. How? Remote communications are so easy today. You know, it seems inconceivable that there's no emergency button or some talk thing that's built into each one of those things.
It would have to be wireless. So,
she what?
It would have to be wireless.
Oh yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about cords going
right. Right. Well, I was thinking wireless
good
cameras
point,
or wireless. You know, like we used to have those wireless Radio Shack boxes for your house. You know,
well,
you could
now,
put one by the front door and one in the living room or whatever.
Well, now they're probably going to do it, right? Because some person.
Well, and I actually see a change coming, a big change, like in the name and ownership of Heavenly.
Well,
it
I know
depends
the lawyers are on their way over there right now, but I didn't. You think that would be that dramatic?
There's going to be a big settlement at least.
A very big settlement, yeah. Well, anyway. Here's the second head shaking story of the week. Even crazier still, the Washoe County School District has begun its seventh superintendent search in 13 years. That averages out to what? Less than 2 years for each one. I don't know what is going on there, but the last one that just took off. She got a month pay for not using up a certain time off or whatever. It's carpetbagger central. It just is very, very upsetting to do that to our schools, our public schools. Not pointing fingers, I'm saying that just is crazy. It makes absolutely no sense at all. A very, very big disappointment. What was so impossible for her to get her policies done here? Well, they don't talk. They don't say. The school board does a lot of, there's really nothing to fix here, type of attitude. And at a certain point, you just have to say, you're way off.
Yeah. The superintendent really doesn't wield any power. It's all left up, you know, she can take things to the board, ask them for agenda and vote on them. But if the board says no, it's no, no matter what she wants, you know, to implement as far as.
I know. Yeah. But she can do
hard.
Some
yeah.
things.
She, well, you know, and with our dysfunctional boards, there's been a lot of them. I'm not sure about this one because I haven't really paid attention. But a lot of the school boards have been so dysfunctional that, you know, a lot of infighting within the directors themselves that, you know, I wouldn't want to be associated with them.
Well, the board, you know, I don't think ability and skill is their number one priority, you know. And I remember at Channel 2 when I was interviewing, this is before Martinez was the superintendent. I said, what kind of superintendent are you looking for? And what's your top priority? They said diversity. That's what the board member told me. So we got to get back to who can do the job the best. Anyway, we're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, back in a few minutes, live and local.